Today on the program, we'll look at the mass readings for the Feast of St. Mark. We'll also explore the sixth commandment. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey, welcome to the program. This is your old buddy, Gary Zimak. Glad to have you back with me on Blog Talk Radio. Man, it has been a hectic day. I apologize. We're getting this program recorded a little bit late tonight, and I'm sorry for that, but I've been on the go all day. It started out early this morning with an appearance on Fort Wayne, Indiana's Redeemer Radio. Right after that, I did an hour on Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge, which I do every Monday. Really cool because we had Raymond Arroyo on the program. Got to talk to Raymond a little bit today. Man, what a great guy. He took up a good amount of time, and he really was generous with his time. And he was in New Orleans making a personal appearance, and he joined the show, and it was a really good morning. After that, I headed to Mass, and after Mass, I went over to Philadelphia to record my monthly program for Holy Spirit Radio. That's going to air on May the 6th. I want to point that out, too, in case you want to listen to the monthly show that I do. I'm a big music fan, so I do a show on Holy Spirit Radio. We call it Following the Truth. Talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church, right? That's my message. And it's really meant to reach out to anyone who's hopeless, who is or just needs a little bit of a pick-me-up. That's what I do on the program. And I play a lot of contemporary Christian music. So if you're a music fan, you want to hear some music mixed in with some inspirational messages and some Bible verses as well, I would invite you to listen to the program. You can listen on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia every first Friday of the month at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then we have a rebroadcast on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. But the podcast can be found on holyspiritradio.org. If you have any questions, you can always let me know. I think you'll enjoy the program. It was a good one today. It was called, the topic was, Where Are You, God? Do you ever feel like that? You wonder where the Lord is in your life. Look, let's face it. We all have those problems that sometimes seem hopeless. You know what that's like? That is not a good feeling, is it? But here's the deal. No matter what we face in life, and I have to tell myself this because guess what? I struggle with this too. No matter what we face in life, with God, all things are possible. There's an old saying, if God brings you to it, God will see you through it. That is really true. Now, we might not feel like it at the time, but it is an absolutely true statement. God loves us, and He's never going to let us be tested beyond our strengths. We're never going to face any situation in life that will cause us harm. The intent is that it won't cause us harm, that it will help us in some way, spiritually, to get to heaven. Now, can we not take advantage of what God gives us? Yeah, that's true. We can not take advantage of it and somehow let it hurt us, but the Lord can always fix any mistake that we can ever make. So let's continue to remember that, whatever we face. But again, if you'd like to listen to the show, you can find it at holyspiritradio.org, and I would love to have you become a regular listener of the program. So after that, I came home. I made my way to the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and I prayed for all of my friends on social media. I prayed for all of you. So you were covered in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Now I'm home, and I'm going to be doing this show. So we're going to do this program, and today's program will be looking at the readings from the Feast of St. Mark, which is today, the Evangelist St. Mark. And then, doesn't this sound like fun, we'll be looking at the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Oh boy, this is going to be fun. Now, I'm not going to go into excruciating detail, but as we get into it, I might say a thing or two. So what I would say is if there are any young children listening to the program, this might not be the best program for them because I have to say some things. I have to tell you the way it is. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail, but I might say a thing or two. Just keep that in mind, okay? With that in mind, let's pray first, and then we will look at the readings for the Feast of St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving me this new day. Give us this new day. Thank you for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day. So many times, Father, we ignore your blessings. We complain. We look at our blessings as possibly curses, when in reality, anything that you let happen in our lives is a blessing. Thank you for the gift of our faith. Thank you for the gift of the internet so that we can do programs like this. Thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus, who redeemed us and continues to make himself present to us in our lives, especially in the Eucharist. Father, we ask that you help anyone who is sick, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is anxious, anyone struggling with doubt or despair, anyone dealing with religious persecution around the world, anyone struggling financially. And we present to you all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We ask you to accept them from us, to help us with these problems, and to also send us your peace. Your peace so that we may feel that all is not hopeless. Father, we ask that you accept this program today. I ask that you speak through me, that you open our minds and our hearts to hear the message that you have for us today. We ask that you put an end to abortion in the world and that you increase vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And we ask our Blessed Mother Mary, whom we love and who we are about to celebrate. We are about to enter into the month of May, which is dedicated to our Blessed Mother. And we ask the Blessed Mother to help us, to pray for us, and to keep us closer, to help us keep close to Jesus and to draw us closer to him every day. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Mark, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I was just thinking when I was asking these various saints to pray for us, we don't want to take that too lightly. You know, I think sometimes with our Catholic faith, we get a little too comfortable saying so-and-so pray for us, or, you know, we'll hear at Mass, we ask through the intercession of Saint Mark or whomever. We don't realize how powerful that prayer really is. Certainly, we pray for one another, and if you tell me that you're praying for me, that's a good thing. That makes me feel really good, because I know that there will be some effect from your prayers. But the Church believes that the prayers of the saints have an even greater value because they're up in heaven with the Lord. So let's keep that in mind when we ask these, and please ask the saints to pray for you, but just let's keep in mind, that's a very powerful practice, that when we pray for the assistance of the angels and the saints, that something really, really does happen. Well, something's really going to happen on this show, and I am so glad to be here with you. You know, it is so special to be hanging out with you every night to talk about Jesus, to talk about his Church. I don't think there's another show on the air like this. I really don't, where we just spend 30 minutes each night. A lot of podcasts are weekly. I want to do it daily. 30 minutes each night, free of charge, talking about Scripture, talking about Jesus, talking about practical lessons. I don't want this to be fluff. I don't want this to be an academic exercise. I don't want this to be a history lesson. What I want this to be is an opportunity for you to learn about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. That's why I'm here. And I'll tell you what, I learn a lot in the process as well. So this show is a great blessing for me, and I'm blessed to have you as a listener, and I really do mean that. For the past couple of weeks, you have been hearing me ask for donations. I don't like to do it, but I'm in a bind. I struggle I struggle to pay the bills each month, as you probably know, or as you may know, you may not. It's hard to be the sole provider for your family, a family of four. By being a Catholic speaker and author, I really have to depend upon speaking engagements, book sales to a lesser extent, because book sales don't really amount to that much, if I'm being honest, and donations. All the radio and TV that I do on the various networks, they don't pay. That's just the way it is. Radio and television is something that's done on really on a volunteer basis. So it doesn't pay. So I have to talk about money in order to keep surviving financially. And I make no secret, there are a lot of months that I don't have enough in the bank to pay the bills, and I have to dig into my retirement account. I have a small retirement account, not a lot, not going to get me very far. But from when I worked for 30 years, I did have a retirement account. And my family and I, we are on board with this. This is the way we're going to do it, because we believe in God's providence and we believe in this message. And I don't think I'm being irresponsible about it, because I'm a pretty conservative guy when it comes to things like this. So I still am able to earn money through speaking, through donations, through book sales, etc. And every now and then we have to hit the reserve funds in order to pay the bills. And really, we're not talking about living an extravagant life. We're talking really about just paying the bills. There are no vacations or anything, and we made that choice. It's a choice we absolutely agree with. We love it. This is a very we're more peaceful now than ever, and we know that the work that I'm doing is bearing fruit. But to make a long story short, I got an unbelievable donation last night, and I am so incredibly grateful that, you know, and I don't want to mention any names, but if the person who made the donation is listening tonight, I want to thank you, because you really, really saved me this month. So thank you very much. And I'm going to continue to ask. I hope you don't take offense, because I know that we get each other, right? You listen to the program. You obviously like what I do. I need to ask so that we can, number one, keep this program free of charge, and that, number two, I can survive financially to do more spreading of the good news, which I believe in, and I thank you, because obviously you believe in me, because you are all responding, and I'm so grateful. But please keep in mind, if you haven't given anything and you're able to help me out, especially to become a monthly subscriber, I would greatly appreciate it. Also remember Mystic Monk Coffee and my Amazon store. So if you're somebody who shops at Amazon, just use the link on my website, followingthetruth.com. And then I get a little commission based on that. Same thing with Mystic Monk Coffee. Again, enough said about that. Thank you for all of your donations. I'm very grateful, and especially to the person who really, really came through for me in a big way last night. Thank you so much. Thanks for having the confidence in me. And I am going to keep doing this for as long as I can. I'm going to find a way to make it work, God willing, to keep this show on the air. Let's talk about St. Mark. St. Mark is one of the evangelists. We have the four evangelists who wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. St. Mark, here's a little bio on St. Mark. Tradition holds that Mark, the author of the second Gospel, is the John Mark mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, Barnabas' cousin and a co-worker with Peter in Rome. According to St. Clement of Alexandria, Mark wrote his account at the insistence of the Christians of Rome. Many early church fathers believed that Mark signed his gospel with the account of the mysterious young man who fled the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, leaving his linen cloth behind. And if you never noticed that before, that can be found in Mark chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. And the belief there is that that man who ran away could possibly be Mark, who put that in his gospel. Mark is believed to have been martyred in Alexandria, Egypt. So there we have it, St. Mark. If you ever get a chance to read Mark's gospel, it is the shortest of all the gospels, and it's written in a very direct and to-the-point style. That's the way Mark does things. He also includes a lot of details, even though he writes the gospel in a no-frills manner. He puts some details that the other evangelists don't have. So if you ever get a chance, read through Mark's gospel. We're going to hear a little bit of it today. And there are some things that he has put in his gospel that I really like. If I ever get a chance, maybe I could talk a little bit about it. But for now, let's read these readings. Let's ask St. Mark to pray for us. That's what I said at the beginning of the show. Because here, he's a saint. He's in heaven. he was able to walk the walk, live the life that the Lord expects us all to live, because we're all expected to be saints, maybe not canonized saints, but we're all expected to get to heaven. So Mark is there. He certainly is in a good position to pray for us. And we're really grateful that he left us so many of the details about the life of Christ as written down in his gospel. Today's first reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. Beloved, clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but bestows favor on the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your worries upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters throughout the world undergo the same sufferings. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you after you have suffered a little. To him be dominion forever. Amen. I write you this briefly through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, exhorting you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Remain firm in it. The chosen one at Babylon sends you greeting, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a loving kiss. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Now, why is this included in today's readings? Well, I think obviously the reason is because St. Mark is mentioned. To the chosen one at Babylon sends you greetings, as does Mark, my son. Many think that St. Peter and Mark were friends, and that Mark essentially wrote Peter's gospel. So sometimes Mark's gospel is known as Peter's gospel. It's the life of Christ as seen through the eyes of St. Peter. Pretty cool. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. Now, you know what hit me. You know what hit me in this reading. Cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you. I'll tell you what, that's 1 Peter 5:7. I use that all the time. I really do. We want to cast our worries on the Lord. We don't want to keep them. It's something that he wants. He wants us to give away our worries because he cares about us. So take that to heart today and really try to do it in your life, to cast your worries on the Lord. The gospel, the psalm today is Psalm 89, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. The favors of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. For you have said, my kindness is established forever. In heaven you have confirmed your faithfulness. The heavens proclaim your wonders, O Lord, and your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can rank with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the sons of God? Blessed the people who know the joyful shout. In the light of your countenance, O Lord, they walk. At your name they rejoice all the day. And through your justice they are exalted." Really, really good psalm. "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." Certainly something for us to take to heart every day, singing the goodness of the Lord, sing his praises, let people know the great things that the Lord has done in your life. And certainly when you talk to him, and definitely make it a point to talk to him, thank him for the many blessings that he has given to you every day. He's so good to us. Today's gospel obviously comes from St. Mark, chapter 16, the very end of Mark's gospel, verses 15 through 20. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. This is the very last section of Mark's gospel. You know, this is not something I noticed, but when I was on the morning show on Louisiana Radio this morning, Johnny Aber, one of the hosts, noticed that, and this is really powerful. Jesus appeared to the 11. Boy, isn't that striking? It's obvious. The attention is called to the fact that Judas is missing. Judas is missing. We want to be included in those group, in that group of the 11, don't we? We don't want to be the missing guy. We don't want to be the one who is excluded. So that's very important to remember. And Jesus really is sending his disciples or the apostles, and really all of us as disciples, into the world, his followers into the world, to proclaim the good news, to tell other people about him. Because he ascended into heaven. He did his time on earth. He was here for a relatively short period of time. He accomplished his task, and he went back to heaven. And really, this is what we're all called to do. We are all called, all of us, are called to do the work that we are supposed to do in life. To do the work and then to move on. To move on, hopefully, to heaven. That's our goal. We all have a task to accomplish. We have a task to accomplish, and then when our earthly life is over, when our earthly life is over, we are called, we hopefully will be called to live with the Lord forever in heaven. But we've got to live a life in compliance with his teachings. He sets the standard for us, right? He's going to give us plenty of grace, but he tells us what we're supposed to do. Let's not make the mistake Judas made. And Judas sold the Lord down the river for some money, for some silver. Let's not make that mistake. Let's always try to follow and ask for the grace of all the saints and the prayers of all the saints and the angels in heaven to pray for us so that we may be strong enough to do the job that we have to do. Let's face it, it's not easy at times. It's not easy to be good, but it is possible. You are called to be a great saint, even though you may not think so. A lot of us don't feel like saints, but we are all called to be saints, okay? Keep that in mind. Any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I wanted to leave a little time to talk about the Sixth Commandment. Every Monday on the show, we look at what Catholics really believe. Unfortunately, as Catholics, we often don't know what we believe, and we get ourselves into trouble that way. It's important. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to be studying textbooks every night, but you should know what our Catholic faith teaches. Christ founded a church. That church is the Catholic Church. Christ expects us to know, to the extent that our intellect will allow us, to understand what we believe. Again, you don't have to be a scholar, but you have to at least try to understand some of the teachings of the church. So in an effort to help you out, and help myself out too, because a lot of these things are good to know, I might have forgotten some of these things too, we've been going through the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is a super document. It is a compilation of 2,000 years of church teaching. But there's a compendium which was put out by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And what the compendium is, and this was put out in 2006 for the first time, it takes the catechism and puts it into question and answer format. And for the purposes of this show, it works out nicely. So we're doing the Sixth Commandment again. We're going to go into some adult material today. I'm going to try to keep it relatively general, but I have to mention some things. So just be aware of that in case we have some children in the room. What responsibility do human persons have in regard to their own sexual identity? Now remember, this is the Sixth Commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Sometimes We only think of that in a very narrow way. It means more. God has created human beings as male and female, equal in personal dignity, and has called them to a vocation of love and communion. Everyone should accept his or her identity as male or female, recognizing its importance for the whole of the person, its specificity and complementarity. Let's face it, we live in a crazy world. Male and female, I mean, there are people trying to say that God makes mistakes and that some of us who are males really should be females and vice versa. Let's get real. I mean, seriously, let's get real. I'm not saying we hate anybody. We don't hate anybody, but we got to call a spade a spade. That's nonsense. And, you know, I mean, I don't know where this is going to end, but we're not headed in a good direction. So please understand that this is the way God intended it. Let's not overcomplicate it. Amen. What is chastity? Chastity means the positive integration of sexuality within the person. Sexuality becomes truly human when it is integrated in a correct way into the relationship of one person to another. Chastity is a moral virtue, a gift of God, a grace, and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk a little bit about chastity, what it really means. It's not just for people who are not married. Chastity is an important concept. Chastity involves an apprenticeship in self-mastery as an expression of human freedom directed toward self-giving. So we need to be able to master our impulses, our desires, right? That's what chastity is about. What are the means that aid the living of chastity? There are many means at one's disposal: the grace of God, the help of the sacraments, prayer, self-knowledge, the practice of an asceticism adapted to various situations, the exercise of the moral virtues, especially the virtue of temperance, which seeks to have the passions guided by reason. In what way is everyone called to live chastity? So this is important to remember, that we are all called to live a chaste life, whether we're married, single, whether we have a vocation to the religious life or to the priesthood, we are all called to be chaste. As followers of Christ, the model of all chastity, all the baptized are called to live chastely in keeping with their particular state of life. Some profess virginity or consecrated celibacy, which enables them to give themselves to God alone with an undivided heart in a remarkable manner. Others, if they are married, live in conjugal chastity, or if unmarried, practice chastity in continence. Now, what about homosexuals? They are called to live chaste lives too. The only time, and here I go, this is going to be, you know, talking some specifics here, but the only time we are morally permitted to engage in sexual activity is within the confines of marriage. So if somebody is not involved in a legitimate sacramental marriage, and we're talking Catholics here, that's what I'm talking about, then that activity is not permitted. So it's a really simple concept. Yes, difficult if somebody is attracted to the same sex, but they are called to live chastely, meaning that they abstain from sexual activity. Right? I know it's not easy. It's a cross. It really is. But we've got to fall back on the fact that God doesn't make mistakes. Some of us are given we're all given different crosses. Some of the crosses are more difficult than others, right? What are the principal sins against chastity? Well, I think we have a good idea what they are, so I'm not really going to say those. You know what? I'm going to say them. They differ according to their object: adultery, masturbation, fornication, pornography, prostitution, rape, and homosexual acts. These sins are expressions of the vice of lust. There, I said it. Although it says only you shall not commit adultery, why does the sixth commandment forbid all sins against chastity? Let's see. Well, you know what? Let's just say that it does. I don't want to really go into all of these details because we're short on time here. What is the responsibility? I'm going to skip that. What is the meaning of the conjugal act? The conjugal act has a twofold meaning: unitive, the mutual self-giving of the spouses, and procreative, an openness to the transmission of life. Okay. What are when is it moral to regulate birth? The regulation of birth, which is an aspect of responsible fatherhood and motherhood, is objectively morally acceptable when it is pursued by the spouses without external pressure, when it is practiced not out of selfishness but for serious reasons, and with methods that conform to the objective criteria of morality, that is, periodic continence and use of infertile periods. Natural family planning is such a method. What are immoral means of birth control? Every action, for example, direct sterilization or contraception, is intrinsically immoral, which, either in anticipation of the conjugal act or in its accomplishment and the development of its natural consequences, proposes as an end or a means to hinder procreation. Birth control is an immoral practice if used for the purposes of preventing pregnancy. Now, there are times when the church recognizes that women will be using birth control drugs to correct a medical condition. I have seen this firsthand. This is absolutely a true statement. So there are times when you're using these drugs not to prevent pregnancy, but for a medical condition. Some women have severe problems with bleeding, especially prior to menopause. That's an example where it would be permissible. Now, I want to talk about these. We're going to go a few minutes over today because I don't, you know, hey, listen, it's my show. We can do this, right? We're just going to go a few minutes over, so relax. Why are artificial insemination and artificial fertilization immoral? They are immoral because they disassociate procreation from the act with which the spouses give themselves to each other, and so introduce the domination of technology over the origin and destiny of the human person. Now, what that means is in vitro fertilization, a lot of Catholics don't know this, is an immoral act because of this reason. And the Catechism goes into more detail. And yes, it is difficult for parents who are infertile. My wife and I went through that before she got pregnant. It can be very, very difficult. But again, this is a cross. God allows this to happen sometimes. Nobody, and please read the Catechism if you have it, if you want more detail. But the Catechism states that, it's a tough statement, but it's true. God doesn't owe people a child. It's not something that's owed to us. It's a gift. So keep that in mind, all right? How should children be considered? Oh, they're going to talk about it. A child is a gift of God, the supreme gift of marriage. There is no such thing as the right to have children, but a child does have the right to be the fruit of the conjugal act of his parents, as well as the right to be respected as a person from the moment of conception. What can spouses do when they do not have children? Should the gift of a child not be given to them after exhausting all legitimate medical options? There are some medical options that are legitimate. Spouses can show their generosity by way of foster care or adoption, or by performing meaningful services for others. In this way, they realize a precious spiritual fruitfulness. What are the offenses against the dignity of marriage? This is the final question we'll look at. These are adultery, divorce, polygamy, incest, free unions, and sexual acts before or outside of marriage. And yes, it is still a sin to have sex outside of marriage. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, really. And again, the church isn't trying to take our fun away. The church is trying to teach us how we can live in order to get to heaven. But we live in a world where that's not very popular anymore. So what can I say? God is telling us. He's speaking through his church. He's telling us what we need to do to get to heaven. Who are we to question him, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? I am out of time. Actually, I was out of time 5 minutes ago, but I want to thank you for tuning into the program. We went a little bit over today, but I thought it was important to talk about that. The Catechism has more details, the full Catechism, about the Sixth Commandment. So you want to fill in some of the blanks and hear more specifics, that's the place to go. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. I really, really hope you'll be able to join me. Have yourself a wonderful night. God bless you. And as always, thank you for tuning in.